On Good Friday, sim racing has seen a rather large crucifixion of a very big company, as Fanatec have removed their long-standing CEO and founder. We will be discussing on this week's Late Apex everything that will result from this major change to one of the most familiar sim racing brands out there. We'll also be discussing the upcoming Nürburgring 24 Hours coming up on ACC, organised by LFM, and also looking ahead to Apex Racing team action this weekend, and also Apex Racing League news as well. Welcome to Late Apex. My name is Sam Fitzpatrick. Alongside me is David Sampson.
Hello.
Yeah, pretty big news this, David, when it comes to Fanatec. Maybe one could say that the writing was on the wall. Heads had to roll. And so they have.
Yeah. Obviously, love or hate Fanatec, what he's achieved in sim racing has been iconic. You know, the first mass market direct drive. I mean, the list goes on. Like, you know, it's a very popular sim company. It gets a lot of hate, but, you know, that's because the same reason Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton do. When you're at the top and you're winning, it's easy to put. Like, I'm not a super Fanatec fan myself, but I can understand where some of it comes from. I mean, everyone's has a memory of their first major upgrade being a piece of Fanatec equipment, I'm sure. You were the same question, Mark? Okay, moving on. First DD I ever bought with my own money, because I'm a streamer, I think it's sent to me. You know, it's hard life. Sure. Was a DD2. Same with the pedals. Was a CSL Elite V2s, I think. Yeah. Bought with my own hard-earned money. I play video games for a living. So.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't like when I say hard-earned.
What did your what was your parents' jobs? This is really off topic, but I'm just wondering if they were like coal miners or something.
No. My mum's runs a law firm. So,
okay, proper job.
Proper job, and my dad just did milk rounds, but he retired years ago. Yeah,
sure. Okay, yeah, genuinely
to look after
useful
us.
Societal job, and here we are.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
welcome to everyone in chat, by the way. Nick Horn, welcome.
Believable.
So, yes, of course, this is Thomas Jackemeyer, who has been sacked as CEO of Fanatec. Not only was he the CEO, though, like, he wasn't just the boss, but he owns half the company. He also founded it back in 1997, launched their first wheel in 1998. And of course, since then, has absolutely made it a huge brand. Really, with very few rivals. And it's the end of an era, really, with him not being at the forefront from now on, and them going seemingly in a different direction. Of course, the reason why this has happened really is because of very negative publicity when it comes to Fanatec for a mixture of reasons. But I think really the big one was the Black Friday deals, where they sold accidentally, at least according to Thomas, they accidentally sold way more stock than what they actually had for discounted prices. It's going to hemorrhage their earnings because they're not making a profit on any of the products that they sold for Black Friday, and they don't have enough of them to actually give to people. The other big thing, of course, is the delays when it comes to shipments. Various reasons for that, between European suppliers who they've had to approach, and, you know, supply side issues as well.
Licensing,
and all sorts of things. And it's all culminated in just Fanatec being very untrustworthy now at this point, and really a brand that many people make an effort to stay away from. Do you think this will improve things for the company?
No. And this is strange. I find myself in a strange position here, trying to talk up a Fanatec. But yeah, Karen, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you can always answer that in two senses. You can answer that, will it practically improve things? Will it solve the issues that they've had? And two, will it improve their popularity? It's a twofold question.
I think both folds, it's bad for them. I think the reason they succeeded was their founder and hard worker. Someone had to pay for, they hemorrhaged all them, like so much of their money, share price, trust. You know, it stems from I can't imagine it was the CEO who entered the entries on the software wrong, or it was the CEO who didn't spot the quality control, or it wasn't the CEO. So the CEO probably wasn't involved in zero of these mistakes, but someone has to pay the price. And it was.
But he's still responsible for employing.
I agree. 100% agree. But it was an indirect. What I mean. So on the question you actually asked me, the reason I don't think it's going to be a good thing is they're now going to go from that small, edgy, dynamic business they're known to be to a business. Just a business. You know, well run, not dynamic, slow to react. They won't have 300 of the same wheel like Fanatec do.
Sure, yeah.
They'll be focused on the numbers. But this has a Steve Jobs vibe to it. Not the same. I'm not saying he invented something like revolution like Steve did, but Steve owned a big part of Apple. He started Apple. He was the CEO. He made crazy edgy calls that sometimes were wrote about and are a legacy of our technological foundation, and some were really dumb decisions that the Lisa, named after his daughter, that was thousands more than anyone was going to pay. He run the company into ground financially to build the damn thing, and then no one bought the damn thing, so they were like, you've got to go, mate. Like, but obviously Steve ended up coming back, so we'll see. But no, I don't think this is going to be good for them. But they have to do something to try and get the trust back. But yeah, they were almost a family-run business that grew in popularity so fast. And like you say, they didn't have any competition and they grew very fast. And he bears the brunt. Is that the phrase? Bears the brunt.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, he has to. You're right. End of the day.
And I mean, in some senses, you know, there is some sympathy. Like, for example, when it comes to their delivery, like I hinted earlier on, like I think they changed their delivery supplier or their European delivery supplier last year, and they seem to have really messed up on that side. And obviously on that end of things, maybe you can't blame them. But then other stuff when it comes to customer support, there's not a capacity to answer emails when it comes to customer support, the reason for that isn't because of the employees being lazy or anything. It's because there's not enough of them and they've been very slow. As I think Nick Horn has said in chat, moving from a medium-sized business to a big business and making the necessary changes you need in order to deal with the scale that they're dealing with now. And I think you make a good point when it comes to it's going to be less family-owned and instead more stringently.
A proper business. Which can work against you in an edgy world we live in. And sim racing still...
But were Fanatec edgy necessarily?
In the beginning, in the early days, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, they took a big risk with the first mass market DD before. I mean, I remember, and if any of the YouTubers watch this, I don't care. I remember the days where people were like, oh, is DD really good for sim racing? Like, is it like there was all these videos because nobody knew. I mean, I managed to get my hands on a Leo Bodner really early, but it was £4,500. Fanatec was 1200, like 1000, 1200.
Sure.
And still, that was too expensive. Well, people, obviously, I bought them with my own cash. You know, I mean, they did a good job. Love or hate Fanatec, and I've always been on the other fence. I used to work closer with them, but I don't anymore.
Sure. So, yeah, we wait to see what who the new CEO will be. I'm sure it will be announced fairly soon. Quite a big change there. And
because obviously, let's not beat around the bush. The mistake was huge. You know, go from mega sales.
Both from customers. Oh, sorry, what was the mistake?
Well,
the Black Friday.
Insane.
But yeah, from both sides of their point of view in terms of making money, because they're not going to make a profit on thousands of stuff that they're going to sell. And also from the customer side of things in terms of losing trust amongst them. Yeah, it's a two.
Imagine, these customers, they're getting wheels much, 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 much later than they planned and they're annoyed. Fanatec are making these wheels now, getting them distributed and made because they don't have them in stock because they sold too many, and they're going to be giving them to these customers at a loss. So this customer who does not happy, they're not happy, Fanatec are also paying for this privilege. Well, Maybe Lewis. No, I'm too busy to run an international sim racing car. Now, I've got my streaming schedule to think about.
How much would you need to be paid to run it?
Thirty percent shares.
Sure.
Okay. I wouldn't even take a wage.
Eh?
No, that's my offer to Fanatec.
Well, in that case, you just wouldn't work. You just take the shares and then.
Yep.
I'm seeing how this works.
See, now business is done. Now you just sit on your sofa.
And I guess if you own enough, you can set your own wage, can't you? So
correct. And you get to turn up to the meeting, and you got 30% sway.
Yeah.
Whenever you see an imbalance, you're like, okay, I feel I'm needed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, shall we move on, or did you have anything else to say about it?
It's going
to
be a big shake-up for them. Maybe they go full radical. Maybe they try and keep their head in the sand and be a bit more quiet with how they approach things for the next coming months and year, maybe. But it is going to be interesting to see, and to see what the CEO does, because he loves sim racing. That's the whole point of Fanatec. That's why he got into this. So, you know, don't rule out what Apple did, you know. Steve Jobs did, again. He left the tech world and was like, oh, I'm not going to sit at home. I'm going to launch another tech company. Yeah. I know what I'm doing.
Did you like my crucifixion joke early on?
Let's see if he's listening.
But I think it's all right to say
yes,
he
was
crucified. But I thought it was quite funny. I didn't see any of the other reports make that joke, saying that's Good Friday. But is that what?
That's really good.
Did you not understand?
I didn't pick up on
you
that.
You just thought I was saying, oh.
I've been out the country for 11 years. The dates don't, nothing lines up for me.
Well, that's the joke, if anyone.
Yes, it was actually.
I thought it was actually quite good, but you didn't react, so. Apparently, Lewis Gilbert, you nailed the humour angle. Thank you, Lewis, for that one. Let's move on to. Well, this is not that big a story, but we'll talk about it anyway. Guess what we're about to mention? Any guesses? It's Rennsport, which has come out with their new build. We discussed this last time.
Can we just say their trailer videos are usually very good?
Superb. This is something I was going to come but talk about. So someone in I wasn't sure what someone in the comments meant by this. But someone's saying this is in engine footage rather than in game. What's the difference in that? Like,
okay,
what does that mean?
In engine footage means you could render it to an unrealistic scale, like on a PC. You're on a. How can I explain? It's not compressed down to run well in a game.
Sure. Okay.
It's like a. Yeah.
But it looks amazing. And obviously all these camera angles are terrific, but obviously you can't actually get that. Someone as well said that the sounds were from real life. I don't know if that's actually true or not.
I mean, I'm glad this track's here. We haven't mentioned that. Well, we mentioned it last week, the Goodwood. I do want to do a lap of Goodwood.
I did it in like Gran Turismo 6 and got bored within about 20 minutes. It's a really narrow and tricky track and very short. But yes, a few new features. We mentioned it last week. Spa at nights.
Day-night cycles. I was speaking to a few of the guys.
Is it actually a cycle?
Cycle, yeah.
That's impressive, to be fair.
Oh, wait, they've got a horizon. We'll go back a bit.
And horizon thing, yeah.
So I like the right-hand one. I can't stand this left-hand ACC Rennsport thing. I like the right-hand one. That's good. I mean, I probably just won't play it, but it's good that that's got it.
Yeah, but you'll play it eventually, right? In, I don't know, 5 years' time when it's
released.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to Jane about the time trial mode. He said people have posted times, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, the trailers look good. We just need them to follow through on their mission. Not the mission R. Maybe they misunderstood me on a previous week when I said follow through on their mission. Not the stupid. But then again, if you want their Porsche check to clear, you have to put the mission R in.
Sure, yeah.
It's written on the check.
Yeah,
You're like, oh, but why?
It was the first car added to the game, and then it was taken away, and now it's been re-added. And it will probably be taken away as well before the full release, maybe, and then re-added. So time trial mode is like the big thing that they're pushing. It's a bit meh, is time trial mode. I'm not entirely sure what the options are when it comes to online, when it comes to time trial, but I think it's mainly a solo thing, is time trial. So do try that. Chat is asking which is closer, the can or the bots hall.
Place your
let
bets.
Let us know which you think is closer. It's a little bit like off. Well, yeah, we'll let you judge, and we'll see soon. Glenn going for bots hall, Nick going for BAM. Good to see some divide in the comments.
But yeah, there's just not enough for me to throw up a stream and test the 1.8 update. I'm not driving the Mission R. I did that in iRacing, and yeah, I'm not doing it again. Goodwood, I would like to do a few laps. It's just I don't think I've ever driven it in the sim. I mean, I probably could have in AC, I suppose. I mean, I'll put a million mods. Yeah,
it'll be something on AC.
So I'll do it there. I've never done an iRacing time trial. Oh, I've done a time trial like 3 years ago to get my IndyCar license, but these people that grind time trials at the end of season to get SR, I'm like, I'm just jumping in a race.
Yeah.
If it goes down, I have to do more. If it goes up, I'm done.
Somewhere's at Nords. Jump into that.
Yeah. And day-night cycle is just something that should have been there.
Thomas Hansen saying bots are closer. Also, Thomas calling me out, saying that I've never drunk from the bots hall. You might be right. I don't usually drink from the bots hall on these, but I do drink from it for the rest of the day. So yes.
This is my third BAM of the day. That's why I can't hold the BAM straight.
It's just that good.
No, I was just tired.
Have fun,
and it was good.
Have BAM.
Have fun, have BAM, yeah.
We nearly run out, so if BAM are watching, please send
sugar
more.
Free.
Sugar free, please.
Please send the sugar free. We're all dying here. Like, send the sugar free. But yeah, day night cycle should have just been there. It's 2024.
Oh, you're being greedy. Like, iRacing took 15 years to get day night cycles.
Yeah, but iRacing was a 15-year-old engine.
Yep.
These people are using friggin'
Unreal.
Unreal. It's just there. It's just there. And just
yeah, yeah, I guess you're right.
It's just
yeah.
there.
Yeah. McKikow saying BAM. Shall we have it released?
One more guess.
Okay, one more guess.
We need one more person to guess. Thomas Hansen, guess.
Yeah, come on, man.
I'm not shouting at a random chat member.
No,
I drive with
said,
him all the time.
No, he said Botzel is closer, Thomas.
Oh, he did.
Shanti McShuntface saying BAM.
Hey, Shanti.
So I think it's three for BAM, two for Botzel, I think. Let's see.
Bottle. Lewis is going bottle. BAM. And the distance is about just under a foot. Under.
Your idea of a foot.
All right. It's 3 inches, sorry. Two and a half inches. Sorry. From here, okay, I overestimated.
Yeah, it's
2 inches.
So yeah, about 2 inches. About a sixth of a foot. Yeah, that is that's round one of that. So the BAM is closer to be
next
clear.
Year we might add a third object. Well,
there's talks. Yeah, we've got some sponsorship deals with Apple. How they might offer
is the
an
iPad
iPhone.
Closer or the iPhone box?
Oy, oy, oy. Next news story is, oh, Glyn, it's not a diagonal wipe. Look, man, look.
Hold your hand. You should be doing that, though. Like, you should put your arm. That's it. That. There you go. That's how you play the game. That's a diagonal swipe. Oh, you've touched them.
I have
touched
it.
No, you're manipulating.
I have interfered. Sorry. ACC have announced Nürburgring 24 hours is coming to the sim. And soon. I think this is next weekend. Hosted by Low Fuel Motorsport.
Well, not just hosted, I think we should say partnered. Because before, it's like LFM have just hosted servers. And ACC can't say no or yes. They offer the ability. But this is actually a partnership. Like, ACC are actually advertising this event.
Yeah, and it's going to be a big event for a track which still hasn't been released. It's being released on April Fool's. And yeah, it's going to be...
The exciting thing for me is triple multi-class, ACC. So this is GT3s, GT4s, and the P-Cup.
Yeah. There it is, April 6th at 12 noon, 24 hours. Yeah, like you said, three different classes.
How many cars? That's what I really...
I don't know.
Because that's what we want to know. Because if it's 25 cars, this is in the bin.
You think? Seeing that it's only three classes, that might not be too bad. If they can get 30, then that would be good, I think.
I want 60, and I want all sims to start
doing it. I would be surprised if it's more than 30. I doubt they've got the confidence. They don't want something to go wrong. And 60, I doubt they've got.
I'm putting this to chat to go find the answer, please. We want to know how many cars this is going to be gridded for. It must be on the Patreon or something. Like,
yeah, unfortunately, there's very little information given on that. What I just showed everyone was all that's being shown on the LFM website.
So it's invite plus, or you can become a paid driver and pay your way in on the Patreon page.
Yes.
I would do that if... I can't. ACC is probably my least ability of sims. I even find Rennsport easier for me. And they're... Like when I say even Rennsport, because I say Rennsport's the closest to ACC's driving style of all the sims. But it's still got its differences. I'd say iRacing's the complete furthest opposite from ACC. I'd say you've got iRacing one end of this table. ACC there.
Sure.
Rennsport probably about there. I'd say AC's about here. R Factor 2 and LMU about there. So just over the halfway mark. LMU, R Factor, AC. ACC's all the way in the bin. Sorry, I mean the end. The pictures have been there and I didn't say that. And Rennsport's close. But that's, I'm just talking about driving style, not my likes or what I prefer, but just the actual style. Like what you do in iRacing, you do not do in ACC.
But yeah, at least ACC is easy. Like you jump in, it's just like, sliding, just full brake. It doesn't have any rear end sliding. It's fantastic stuff. I wonder if it'll have rain. That'd be amazing. Obviously, it's not especially great, is the rain on that, but it'll still be cool.
Thomas Hansen's pointing out in chat that what I described probably won't be helpful to our podcast listeners. Okay, I'll put them in scale order verbally. iRacing. Then AC.
I think they got the point.
Then LMU and R Factor 2, pretty close. And then Rennsport and then ACC at the other end of the spectrum. There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, do sign up for that. I mean, top split, like we said, was invite only and for Patreons, but then the others are free to enter. So, not sure how many splits there'll be.
I didn't know there's other splits.
Yeah, there's other splits, yeah, for community people. So, do you try to get involved? Details will be released on the LFM websites for that.
Where is Mario Kart on the list?
I was playing Mario Kart the other day, actually. If Jack Stars is watching along, you would have seen me really bad at Mario Kart. I haven't played it for years.
So if you really want me to break it down technically, Mario Kart has the slip angle like Rennsport. You can
because you press the drift button.
Correct.
So, yeah, you want
to. So the massive slip angle, and it does brake like Rennsport. It is just mash, and you let the ABS in Mario Kart do its thing. So I'm starting to think I know why Rennsport got this model from. High slip, slam brakes. I'm trying to think of anything else.
It's a good platform to base your game off, to be fair.
Yeah, so it's very different to iRacing, and it's quite similar to Rennsport. So if you're good at Mario Kart, give Rennsport a try.
Yeah. Next update when it comes to news is Gran Turismo. Not really much of an update this, but they got three new cars, and we always like to see these nice trailers.
I was playing this before the 12-hour. Me and Mark were playing this, but we ended up playing Trackmania instead, only doing a few laps of this.
We got a Lambo, we got an Audi, we got a Toyota. That looks cool, and that's it. But there's some other stuff. There's like a new menu book thing, which is like a thing that you have to play through for the career, and a few other stuff. So, yeah, try it.
Callum Mooney, hi mate. The Patreon invitation was said 50 slots.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Whoa.
That's good. 50 slots.
Triple multi-class 50.
Yeah. That's a good field.
That'd be
16 cars each.
I imagine Jardier's going to be there, right? It's got to
yeah.
be tragedy if he's not. Trackmania is popular in the Samus community. Where does that rank? No, that's not like anything. That's not like anything. I'm big on Trackmania right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all over it.
Mm.
Only one day.
We're talking about it later. Well, we're talking about it now.
Oh,
next on our list.
Wait, we get to talk about Trackmania on the podcast?
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to... You could have brought this up, but I saw it.
I'm ready.
I thought this is cool. So Trackmania and Formula E have worked together to basically host like the Formula E sort of esports championship in a way. It's three different tracks they've got now in Trackmania. And their races are hosted the same weeks as the real life event. They're putting up a €10,000 prize pool.
Bam.
And so it's half hour races as well. Like, I really thought it'd be like 5 minute races, but it's like half hour races on Trackmania.
I was talking to someone who'd just done a 24 lap Formula E race, and my brain was like, what?
It's so weird, but I'm so credit to Formula E for actually doing something. Like,
rain.
It's clear that someone knows what they're doing. There's rain in it. Yeah, there's attack mode.
Hey, I picked a good time to make the switch. I'm going to go win that prize.
I thought this was linked to what you were doing. Why were you doing it?
I was bored. I needed to... No,
this
seriously.
This was announced days ago.
All right,
you need
so
to
why,
start practicing.
Why I did Trackmania, Mark came over for the Sebring 12, and we were hanging out just playing PlayStation, drinking some beers. We ended up firing up GT7, and we just... Nah. Thought, oh, I've got Trackmania installed. Haven't played it in 18 months. And then 3 a.m. came round, and this was the night before the Sebring 12. And then after the Sebring 12, I found myself just playing it more and more. So I installed it on my PC. Then I started playing it more and more. Following day, I was feeling a bit burnt out from streaming. And I was like, fire up Trackmania. So just first time in 4 years I've streamed something other than like a sim racing title. I do the occasional bit of chess, but not as a full dedicated stream. And I was like, let's just do it. And I had so much fun.
Mm.
But now I know why it was meant to be. I'm going to become a Formula E.
Yeah. Well, this is the trailer for it. I haven't actually seen this, but I'm just curious as to what it looks like in the game. I had to say in-game rather than in-sim, but, you know.
I'm ready for this.
I mean, it looks awesome, right? I might actually give this a go.
Should we convert all the rigs downstairs?
So you got the official liveries, 9 races.
Yeah, I've been running a Formula E livery.
10K. Prize pool. And so rather than sort of the like time trial element that is so customary in Trackmania, these are proper races that you've got to do. Got an awesome attack mode. I'm not sure, I don't think the tracks are based on the real life tracks.
Yeah, I think they mentioned they are. I think you...
Oh really, okay. I don't remember one of the tracks having that type of
no banking. True. No, I don't.
There was the races, so Tokyo. Oh, so there's 3 races and 3 tracks. That makes sense. But they're all in the same race week as the real life event. So the first one coming up is it's March 30th.
How much do you win for winning bottom split? Question.
I haven't seen how it
probably won't be 10 grand though.
I've been
it?
Reading the overtake.gg thing on it, and they have not released details. But yeah, credit to Formula E for actually thinking outside the box, doing something unique for a very popular game. And yeah, it'll be good fun. I recommend trying it.
That's crazy. Crazy timing. Honestly, I didn't know I didn't know about this. I didn't know we were talking about this tonight. The timing is just meant to be. So, yeah, I'll put together an Instagram post where I announce my retirement and switch over to becoming a Formula E.
Yeah.
I'll put the track meaning small, because if I just say...
This could be your route to Formula E.
Could be. Or IRL.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. That'd be great. I mean, I'm excited about my future. Hey, Thomas.
Yes. And also, just relating as well back to ACC... Callum Mooney in chat says, above that, it says open 30 slots. So whether that's 80 total or whether they're separate splits, I'm not sure. So it could be 30, could be 50, could be 80 for the ACC. I doubt 80. That seems like a lot. Like iRacing struggles with 60. And I feel like, I'm not saying that iRacing's better or anything, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of like the testing for ACC, not sure how confident they'll feel with over 60 cars, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Let's go on to my favourite part of the podcast, which is silly F1 rigs. A slightly different submission this week. This is the play seat, one of the worst names I've ever seen for anything, actually. Play seat introduces the Formula Intelligence F1 Edition chassis. Obviously, intelligence, what does that mean? And also, chassis is a questionable word for what is a sim rig.
Tell you what, that's not a bad design.
Wait, I think I may have said this earlier on, which I shouldn't have said. How much do you think it is?
I don't remember if you told me.
Well, I did say in front of you at least, so it's good that you weren't listening.
No, I don't usually listen.
No.
500?
Sorry, what?
500.
For what? For that?
Yeah, am I a bit low? $5,000, I meant. I don't know why I said 500. It's 500 for the seat. What am I talking about? I've lost it. I'm still thinking about Trackmania. How could it be 500, though? The seat's 500. The rig's 400. It's got the F1 brand in. That's worth $1,000. The seat, the monitor. Okay. Does it come with equipment?
So I will say that it doesn't come with the monitor stand.
Okay. So I'm going to say...
It doesn't come with like a weird... It's the rig.
Okay. Get to do it. I'm saying 1750.
It is 2,500.
Okay.
Plus taxes.
Why did I say 500 quid?
I didn't know what
they'd
you were
sell
thinking.
Out.
Yeah.
You just rip the chair off and sell the chair.
I mean, 500 would be really good value. Like
for the chair. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, for the chair. 500 quid. I'm losing it.
But Sam. Then also, it's this optional play seat, a direct drive pro adapter. You don't need that. People who buy this are just going to lodge a G29 to it. Keyboard holder, you can get away with that. Floor mat, you can get away with that. But then the multi-screen stand, you probably do need that. So that's 500. So really, it's $3,000.
The reason I like that is simple. Same reason I like different type of movies now. They're just different. Like, this is different. I think that's the reason I like it. But it does look a little bit flimsy now. You're starting to flick through the pictures.
It is made out of some lightweight thing, which is really useful for something that doesn't need to move. Strengthened frame, sturdy and flex-free, so you should be safe.
Yeah, but that's why they say a DD adapter, because it's not tested for a DD.
Leather seat, I can't buy it, unfortunately, then.
What seat? What were you saying?
Leather seat.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That holds me out. wide choice of driving positions, compatible with all steering wheels and pedals, but I think it does say that you need to have that add-on thing, that direct drive pro adapter in order to do that
with the weight
100%. It's not real leather. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, usually it's like faux leather nowadays, my stuff like that track racer thing was, so I'm surprised. Works with consoles. 500 kilos, so it's half a ton. That's insane. How is that
can't
heavy?
Be right.
That can't be right. That's like the weight of like a really small single seater.
Yeah, that can't be right.
That can't be right. That there's no way that's 500 kilos.
Even with a person and a DD and a monitor.
Yeah, that's crazy. What?
Can you imagine the shipping cost?
Yeah. I mean, that. Yeah.
The Fiat weighs 6.
By the way, so the heaviest person ever, I think, is about half a ton.
1,005 pounds, I think.
Something. Okay, well...
Wait, your reaction to the finding out what I just said, your face was like, wait.
1,005
pounds. I think that's the largest I have ever known.
I thought it was 500 kilos. There you go. Yeah, so about 400. So that's heavier than the heaviest person ever. There's no way that's true.
Oh, the website says 49.5. Okay.
So to be fair, actually, this might be B-Sim Racing making a mistake. To be fair, because yeah, it's not half a ton.
The first chat in chat, the first comment about the weight in chat was from Thomas. He put, flimsy, £495. And you're saying, oh, it's made of some lightweight metal.
Brilliant.
Recommended maximum driver length, odds, use of words of length there, considering that you'd usually use the word height, 230 centimetres.
What's that?
That's about 7'2", I reckon.
So they're ruling out basketball giants and basketball players. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Recommended driver weight, 122 kilos. So I think most of us are all right on that one.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You could put two of me in there. By the way, the biggest story is reported by B Sim Racing that this is a new agreement between F1 and Playseat to create F1 branded products. This is like a high end product, it looks like, but there'll be other products that they release. So that should work well for them. That should make some money for.
I don't think I've even sat in a Formula style sim rig. I'm not sure. Maybe at the Sim Expo. I don't fancy it, I have to say. The laying down more.
I can't imagine it's good for your posture, surely. I mean, I don't think a rig is normally great for your posture, but.
No.
Yeah, having a curved spine. Not sure. Let us know in chat if anyone's got any experience. Thomas Hansen pointing out the comment from them, works with all consoles, which is a very good question. Basically, does it have a USB? It's a rig, isn't it? So it doesn't need to connect to anything. Yeah. So it's just there. So, yeah. but, you know, again, the people that they sell them to are millionaires who have six-year-old kids who they want to make quiet. So I think they've succeeded on that.
Make quiet.
I want to be education secretary one day. I think we can move on to Apex Racing Team.
Do you want to have our Formula One 5-minute tidbit that we do?
Sure. Is there 5 minutes of stuff to talk about?
Adrian Newey has been offered big money by Aston Martin.
Famously, he has been offered big money at least twice from Ferrari, maybe three times. And he's always said no because Red Bull just offer him more money.
His love of life is James Bond, mate. And if they said, look, we'll give you this much money.
So earlier on you mentioned that and I just thought, yeah, he's the type of guy who would
James
Bond. But is he genuinely a big fan?
I remember a documentary about him and I do remember something to do with a Bond car or something. 5-minute food discussion. Hey, Adam. I think this is... I don't know why... I can see the sense of challenge for him because he's done this time and time again. But if he was actually to go to an Aston level team and take them to the top.
Well, that's what he's done with Red Bull, right?
Yeah.
Because they were Jaguar. You were near the back and then he joined them in the early days. And
but I wouldn't even be discussing this.
McLaren as well, actually.
I wouldn't even be discussing this would happen if the recent turmoil at Red Bull wasn't happening.
Sure.
Verstappen saying is...
And if he is going to... move teams, he's got to do it soon. Like he's like in his 60s, right?
Yeah.
So like he doesn't want to be moving when he's 70. Like this will be his last career move. So,
you know, he still works with paper and pen.
Yeah.
He doesn't like all the computerization.
We were saying earlier on how he's the greatest F1 person ever. If you put all the team managers, all the designers.
And drivers.
All the drivers, he's better than any of them. Because F1 is a car sport, it's not a driver sport, it's a car sport.
Yep.
And he's better than all of them.
Because think of every time everyone's ever said, oh, he only wins because he has the best car. Yeah. And most of those cars were built by Newey.
Insane guy. And he's going to be so rich.
I think he's doing okay at the moment.
Yeah.
Because you know Red Bull keep offering and Ferrari and he just goes to Red Bull. I'll stay, you know, just 300 million, this all goes away.
It's big for Aston Martin as well because, like, Aston Martin, when Lawrence Stroll came in, they were like, okay, this is now going to be another big team, you know, to go with Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes, Alpine in terms of the budget size. And they've not really done that so far.
Well, apart from the Alonso statement. That was a big statement, I think, because he's not cheap.
Sure. But I feel like that when Alonso joined and when Vettel joined as well, that was the period soon after Lawrence Stroll joined, where it was like, all right, we can attract these big drivers. Also, Alonso, where else is he going to go? Like, it's the best car that you can get. Like, Alonso is a midfield driver at this point. He's like a top-level driver. But
you're not going outside, mate. You're never going to make it.
Alonso's top five drivers on the grid, don't get me wrong. But, like, he can't get into one of the top cars, so he isn't now a midfield driver. But I feel like that's waned as time has gone by in terms of Aston Martin's pull, because they haven't delivered. They're still the fifth best team.
True.
And so a statement like this to get Newey in would be a massive deal.
Yeah.
And would, you know, give Alonso confidence, would give the other drivers confidence to go there.
His son, you mean?
Yeah. I wonder if that would be one of the conditions. It's like, I'll join the team, but I'm not letting Lance Stroll drive one of my cars.
Yeah. I'm not having your son tell me my car that I build's rubbish.
Yeah. I'll take a 1 million pay cut if you get rid of Lance Stroll, because I actually want to win championships.
The chat's saying Alonso fans in Corby picking up their pitchforks.
I love Alonso.
You called him a mid-pack driver, mate.
He's probably my second favourite driver behind Hülkenberg. So
you're digging, mate.
He's an amazing guy, but yeah, he is a midfield driver now because he's not allowed in any of the top teams. He's been in a midfield team for the last 10 years. He's a midfield driver.
He has to be one of the worst drivers, apart from Danny Rick. They're close on picking a team when they pick them.
This is something that I sort of would disagree with when it comes to a lot of people, where actually he joined Renault at the perfect time. That wasn't a choice, to be fair, because Briatore came to him. That switched to McLaren, insane call. 2005, end of the season.
Yeah.
Won the championship with Renault. It's like, I'm going to ditch you guys. I'm going to win the championship next season with Renault, and then I'm already going to commit moving to McLaren, just as McLaren make the best or second best car on the grid.
Yeah, but they genius also call. Brought in a driver that could take him.
Yeah, but that's... that's what Alonso didn't account for. And if he was better in 2007, he would have won 2007.
Yeah.
Could have won 2008.
Yeah.
Would have been a four-time champion by the age of 28 or something.
Yeah.
But instead, because he was an idiot in 2007 and genuinely just not good enough to beat Hamilton.
But he's also a bridge burner. So I've spoke to Fernando. I have the pleasure of speaking to him a few times. But yeah, he burnt bridges with Honda, McLaren, could say Mercedes. No, not Mercedes. I mean, because you remember all the stuff he got into with McLaren when he deliberately parked it in the pit stop after his pit stop.
Oh, of course, Hungary, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. And obviously his comments towards Honda killed his Indy 500 entry, ended up driving for a different team because he was all set for the McLaren Indy seat. Then they got their engine from Honda, and Honda were like, no, this isn't a GP2 engine.
Yeah.
He ain't driving. but yeah, he's a great, great, great talent. But yeah, his timing's not been great, and he burns bridges.
The one bad one, well, yeah, the fact that he burns bridges, and then the other bad thing was moving to McLaren Honda, which was a dumb move because he should have stuck with Ferrari. But yeah, that was the one bad move. Someone was asking, who do we think will go to Mercedes? I think Sainz will go to Mercedes because it's the obvious choice, because he's a very good driver. I don't think Antonelli will go there because I don't think he's done enough in F2.
Sainz is going to Red Bull, I think.
Okay, that's a decent shout, yeah.
I don't know who wants Mercedes.
If Albon goes, I don't rate Albon at all.
I don't think he's
maybe the 14th.
There is a
driver.
Junior, not
Antonelli.
That would be such a big call with Russell leading the way and Antonelli. It's too early, but perhaps Mercedes, because they know they have this uphill struggle for a few years, maybe bring in Antonelli, because it's not like they can fight Red Bull now. So is it a good time now to bring in a junior and train him with the car, with the regulation change? And because Mercedes is going to have to swallow the pill of they're not a big team anymore. So perhaps it's a good time to bring in Antonelli and, yeah, I don't know. But I think Sainz to Red Bull.
Okay.
Makes so much sense. He's driving well. He's ex-Red Bull. Yeah, not sure. All right, F1 done.
F1 done. Apex Racing team. Disappointing sleeping 12 hours for Apex, unfortunately. We crashed out in the opening hours. After our first driver swap, I was a little bit unsure on the conditions, and unfortunately we had an incident. I think the Apex Racing Academy squads as well struggled quite a bit, so that was a bit disappointing. How did you find Sebring with the rain?
Obviously, I did it here at the Sim Centre. So first fact is, if you're going to drive in a rig you're not used to driving on, 12 hours is not a good first way to do it. You should definitely spend more time.
Like a lot of excuses.
I was aching, man. Like, everything was fine. I was very comfortable.
To be fair, yeah, in terms of, I was going to bring up, like, what about LAN events? But yeah, they are only in the rig for 20 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
You are in there for hours.
So I was comfortable. The pedals were a good distance. The DD felt good. I got my brakes nice. Force feedback felt good. The screens were at a good distance. So everything, I was comfortable. But it's those minor differences. The brakes are a little 2 inches to the left. The DD is 2 inches lower and it's an inch closer. You're using different muscles in your shoulders, using different muscles in your legs. You're at a slightly different angle. And then the worst bit creeps in. You start trying to compromise it by moving your seating position a little bit in your body, and then your back starts to go. But anyway, we had a couple of hiccups in the wet to dry transition. We've learned a lot. We finished the race P8 after a lot of pain. Not in physically, I mean actually in the sim. It was a difficult race, really difficult. Lots of teams struggled, but we made the promise that we were going to finish no matter what, because we wanted to learn about rain and the transitions that go with it, and the pit stops and the timing of the tires. And if we made a bad call, we were going to live with it, learn from it, and carry on and finish the race. So yeah, P8 was a good it was split four, so that might not sound like a lot, but it was like 5.7k soft. So
yeah, that was a lot of splits.
Monsters. We was racing absolute monsters in NMP2. Yeah, we enjoyed it. And we've learned so much. Honestly, we have learned a ton. So we're excited for the next wet race. There are a few bugs. One big one. I'm only going to talk about one.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, the drying up phase. It gets drier and drier and drier. The dry line gets drier and drier and drier. But then it gets to a point where the track looks drier and you're almost on dry times. You're flying. Fast lap of the race is coming up and you used to be on dry. So now the track's gold until you're 1 millimeter off a line where it's an unused portion of track. Sunset. This is where everyone died. And visibly, it's bone dry. Put one tyre out there and you signed out it's not. It's monsoon. So iRacing's got this bit of an issue where... Because I agree.
It's just a graphical thing, isn't it? It's not even like a physics thing. Like, that's really good that there is a dry line. But yeah, you need to be able to see it.
Yeah, because I agree it should still be monsoonish out there, because no one drives on the outside of Sunset. But you can't see it. Like, I saw an incident. Heartbreaking it was. An LMDH is coming up. He gave him room. The LMDH went through. LMP2 went to turn. Couldn't turn, because his left tyres are in the wet that isn't there.
Yeah.
And he went career into the wall. So when we had damage, I fired up the broadcast stream, opened it up. Broadcast is on Team Redline. This is all live. I'm watching. And Team Redline drives into the wall at the exit of Sunset. Watch the replay. They did literally exactly what we did moments after. 10 minutes later, the other Redline team.
Sure.
Dead. So yeah, it's a frustrating bug, because in the wet or the dry to wet or the transitions, you can see it, but then the bug seems to be as the track is getting drier and drier and drier and faster to the point where it's almost at maximum, they make that bit disappear. But we loved it. We had a lot of fun.
Next special event in the rain is going to be Nords, right?
Well, unless you've got inside information.
Oh, yeah, of course. Actually, half the cars don't have wet.
GT4s, TCRs.
Yeah, there's not enough of them, is there?
Peacup.
Do Mazdas run that?
No, the GR86 has replaced that.
Really?
Well, in VLN. In VLN, I assume it. Yeah, I'm going to go with my gut.
Yeah.
GT3, GT4, TCR.
MX5, come on, man.
Peacup and GR86. I think it's 5.
Yeah. You can't just have. Well, actually, GT3 just at Nürburgring, actually, I would be up for that, because when you only have 60 car feels.
Nick Sandspa 24 also at the moment wrong, because. The Macron Ford.
It'll be wet. They'll just ditch the Macron Ford.
What, like they did for VRS?
Yeah.
But they didn't. You said yes.
Well, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, it's not raining in GT3s at all at the moment because of the Macca and Ford.
Oh, okay, sure.
And Spa 24 have Macca and Ford. So we either get two new cars or it's not going to rain because they're not going to put wets on them. If they do, why have we had to wait 13 weeks?
But they took... I mean, it's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't...
They took away those cars for week 13, didn't they?
Yep, to give us rain for GT3s.
Yeah.
And then officials roll around.
Back, yeah.
Yeah, that was insane, mate. You put a good point. That was insane. They were like, it's raining, week 13 GT3s. Oh, yeah, we just got rid of the Macca and Ford.
Yeah.
Whatever. But Spa 24 has the Macca and Ford. Road America 500. I can't wait for that race. That's one of my favourites of the year.
What do you race in that?
The big boy one. Not the Audi.
The Mazda GTX?
No, is it Mazda?
It is a Mazda.
Nissan.
Oh, Nissan, so yeah.
Yeah, okay, the monster Japanese car. Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be cool. PEC GB, Porsche Esports Carrera Cup GB, that's what it's called. Luke McCone with an all right race. He had a bit of an iffy race one, but recovered well in race two. This was at Knockhill, so Luke isn't going to catch Job now for the title. But he's still in a solid second. Pete did have a good day. Pete Bowman, a second and a fifth for him. And it's very close now for P3 in the championship. He's got P4 in the bag, pretty much, just Pete. Two rounds to go, I think, in that. Pete could get P3. So if we got second and third behind Job, good effort. That's pretty much as we... And Luke's pushed Job hard all the way through the season.
So I had a good insight because I actually watched this whole event. Usually when PEC GB's on, I'm pretty busy, but I watched the whole thing, the Knockhill. Oh my God, it was good racing. Honestly, the way all these boys abuse curves, it was so good to watch until they got it 1 millimetre wrong and then they fly over
the crest, yep. Chicane.
And
yeah,
they
yeah.
fly off into the gravel.
F4.
Yeah.
Like Pete had an absolute, probably one of Pete's worst races actually in F4 about 18 months ago, where, in the lead, they were making mistakes. Those curves are lethal. Absolutely.
Luke and Job had some Sebastian Job. How do you say it?
I say, what did I say, guys?
What did you say, Job?
I think I said Job.
Okay. Luke and him had such big battles. It was brilliant to watch. But yeah, Pete's an animal. Yeah, it was great. It was great watching.
So that will be no round this week because PESC is coming up. Imola.
Tomorrow.
And not some around the championship, right?
Yep.
And then the season, I get confused because it used to be held at Monza, the season finale.
It is.
Oh, it is still at Monza. Oh, so in my head, they were replacing Monza with Imola. But no. Okay, it's Imola, then Monza.
You haven't said penultimate, Andy Miller. So you've nailed it. You just didn't trust yourself.
See?
You said penultimate.
I knew it was the penultimate round.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I thought they'd replaced... I thought Monza had been dropped, hasn't been dropped, so that's all good. Imola PESC coming up. Watch that tomorrow. I think we're doing a team stream on the Twitch channel, so do check that out.
Bosh.
How are you feeling about it? You're driving the GT3.
Correct. It's crunch time. I'm on the cover photo of PESC All Stars, so Porsche's advertisement. I've got my face on it. I'm 2 points. Top five is all that matters in life. Because you win a Porsche watch.
What, like a Takoya?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'll be wearing it all, I'll be doing this while talking on the podcast.
Forget the bottles.
Yeah, what's closer, the watch or the band? There is four of us battling for the top five. Well, and Emery. But four of us were 2 points apart battling for P5. So you've got me, Grizzle, Daniel Gray, and... Who is it? Ollie, basically Ollie. We're all battling for that fifth slot and we're all separated by 2 points. But then the sleeping dragon behind us is Emery, who's a little bit further back. But as we know, she is rocket quick. So she can disturb this as well. Because if we all fight over and bring our points total down, but because we're scrabbling over a couple of points and she scores big, then there'll be five of us going to the last round fighting over nothing. 2 points. Four of us.
Sure.
And Emery behind. So, yeah, it's pretty nerve-wracking. Yeah, so yeah, I'm excited for it.
What time is your race tomorrow?
Yes.
It's difficult to be fair because the clocks have changed and they do it on US times and US clocks have changed.
Yes.
But they haven't changed in the UK. So it's usually later. It's like 6 o'clock, I think, your race, isn't it? And then like 7 o'clock for the big boys?
I don't know.
Something like that.
Something like that. I usually start a few hours before anyway, so I'm sure. Around. But I haven't done any laps, but I love Imola. And I've been doing some laps this week at Watkins Glen. I haven't drove GT3s in a long time now. But I jumped in. Did a race and did some prep at Watkins Glen in the Porsche, and I loved it. The Porsche GT feels through is great, so I'm feeling super confident. Imola's one of my strongest tracks on the calendar. Yeah, so I'm excited. I'll do my prep tomorrow morning. Yeah, just my usual routine. I haven't prepped at all. I haven't even done a lap. I don't like to, because then I'm thinking about it all week and analysing corners. I'd rather just grind it for an hour in the morning, then take some break, think about it, brew on what I want to do. If there's anything I need to learn or something, and then, just send it. I mean, the second race is a reverse full grid, so you can plan all you want, but...
And that'll be an advantage at Imola. It won't be easy to overtake.
So you tell me I should just not turn up for quality, not turn up for the first race.
They do the first race because that puts too much pressure on you for the second race.
Correct.
Where if all your hopes are in that,
yeah,
and then you'll bottle it on the turn one.
Yeah, slow down.
Yeah. So do tune into that on Apex Racing TV's Twitch channel. And David's Twitch channel.
Too kind.
Other news when it comes to Apex Racing League. Exciting news. We have Apex Racing League sports cars starting up. That is GT4 and TCR cars. So if you're a fan of either of those car categories and you're available on Monday European evenings, do sign up for the championship. Really think it'll be a good one, this. Multi-class stuff, hour-long races, 7 rounds, so not a big commitment.
I'm hoping to be there.
David might be there. Lewis Ward's legend might be there. So yeah, really recommend it. We've got a fair few drivers already signed up, announced it yesterday. So yeah, do go to apexracingleague.com in order to register for that. Also got another event as well coming up, Racing Unleashed. These are different challenges that we host each month. They're open to everyone. It's free entry, and each event has €700 of prize money to be given out. So if you go to apexracingleague.com, you can see the details for this new one, which is GT4s at Watkins Glen. So if you're below 6K, the event is on Sunday the 7th of April. If you're above 6K, then your event is on the 21st of April, once again on a Sunday, midday as well, those races. So do check it out. It's really, really cool, those races. Challenge number one was fantastic. And it's free to enter. So yeah, if you've got spare time on a Sunday, jump in and you might win €200. So that's pretty neat.
Yep. Yeah, Alan's a big GT4 fan in chat.
Yeah, you should sign up, Alan. 100%. You'll have a good chance. Pre-qualifying for the sub-6K division is starting tomorrow. You basically have to do 5 clean laps and then you get into the race.
This presumably. Is for the Racing Unleashed, just to be clear. Not the
Racing Unleashed, yes. Yes.
Not the ARL.
Do you go that? Apex Racing TV, quite an empty week, but I just want to show you. Well, let's look at this. This was brilliant.
Wait, is this for today?
This was from earlier, yeah. This is pretty much the only highlights we've got this week, unfortunately. But who will be fifth? Lane still making contact. They just moved towards one another, didn't they?
They cut across. Me laughing.
David just losing it. But neither of them are going to let each other pass. Street's pushing them. Pedersen nearly gets it. So Pedersen, Lee told me afterwards, Pedersen got a penalty for that. He got 4x and that put him over the instant limit.
Which car's Pedersen?
The green car.
That's his 4x, mate. Watch. I think Lee might be wrong.
I think it was that here. Maybe. I'm not sure.
I think it's this. 3, 2, 1. Pause for effect. That.
Yeah, but that's not Pedersen, is it?
It is, isn't it? Green car, yeah.
But Pedersen stopped. I think Pedersen was blaming on the person ahead. But who knows if they have Astrix didn't serve his slowdown, somehow Lan did. So Lan got fifth place, but might get a penalty.
The race, I described
and you called it as well. Do we want to find that moment?
The what, sorry?
The moment where you said that exactly corner. That would happen.
To go quick, you need to go close.
This is weird. This isn't us live.
Oh, this is right, yeah. I love it. I really like it. I've never watched. I don't watch me back usually. How are we going to find it? That's impossible. Oh, it's after the advert. Close to the grass. It's not after the.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh, is when we're.
Yeah, after it's because we have no audio. Then I say it again. Perfect, mate.
By Pedersen, a new driver.
Easy content. We're just watching ourselves.
Oh no, I've pressed the wrong button.
Shocker.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not really sure of lap times here. I think I was watching.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is great content. Somewhere David says that what happened.
Yeah, no, at Petit Le Mans IRL, what happened happened in the exact same time, exact same move.
Mm. So, Apex, Nick Horn saying in chat, Apex TV Inception. Yes. Chris Nolan is free to make a movie about us anytime. That's everything that I wanted to mention. Anything else you wanted to mention?
I mean, I'm looking forward to you asking me what the time is, you know, in 2 weeks when I've got my watch.
Sure.
No, it's going to be really hard. You best ask me what the time is.
So we've got Imola this week and then Monza next week.
Let me see where Monza is. It is soon. I don't know if they're back to back, but I have a calendar. Okay, so. Yes.
Wow, okay.
Back to back.
Wow, that watch could be yours soon.
Yeah. You want to know the time? Yep, so I'm going to be doing this all the time.
Yeah.
All the time, especially to the people I beat. I'm going to be in their
You're
streams.
You're going to go up to strangers in the street and say, oh, sorry, mate, do you know the time? Just,
I won this in a computer game.
Yeah. this thing, you know, yeah, you know, something that I'm just a guy who has a nice watch, you know, that's me, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. It's a long way to go. It's been an epic battle, so I have been enjoying it. It's just a shame there's only one spot left.
Are you allowed to sell it?
That hasn't thought crossed my mind.
Not selling it. No, but are you allowed to sell it?
Yes, of course, but I'm not going to.
You are allowed to sell it.
It's my trophy.
Sure.
A wearable, all the time, even in the shower, trophy.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing that watch potentially. Maybe I think you should buy one for yourself, even if you finish sixth.
I own a Tagger. My wife got me the Monaco one for a wedding day present. So what? 8 years ago. Why would I just guess how long I've been married? That was a bad mistake.
Yeah,
eight-ish.
Yeah, memorable day, eh? When's your wedding anniversary?
Shh. Yes, 8 years. I think it's 8 years.
Sure.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
Well,
you nearly lost your wedding ring early on, didn't you?
Shush. I dropped my wedding ring early, yes.
Yeah.
My wife got me the Monaco Tagura.
It's the wedding present. One that you're going to win better or worse than that?
The one
I mean, obviously, sentimentally, obviously, you got first was...
No, the one I win will be sentimentally more, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay, e-sport competition.
Yeah.
That's quite high on the list of
higher
life.
Than your marriage.
All right. Same split.
Sure. Oh, same. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
No, this one's more... it's a smart tag. It's like got smart features built in, so yeah.
Okay.
Superior.
I mean, if you want that, you could get a phone.
No, why would you pick up your phone when you have a smartwatch? I don't think you understand.
Can you call people from it?
No, I think you got a wind pest for that one.
Really? Yeah. everyone who's still tuned in after all that chat, thank you very much for tuning in. We will be back next week with another episode of The Late Apex. But for now, of course, like the video, subscribe, let your friends know about it, check out the podcast.
Spotify.
On Spotify
iTunes.
And iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you soon.
Cheers.